Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. My name is Valencia Scott, and I am a part of Turning Leaf Ministries. And the title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. And we're going to have a special guest again on the show. Her name, I'm calling her Minister Stiers. Can you say hello to everyone, woman of God?
Hello, everyone.
And she has brought the word before. She is a very powerful woman of God. When she brings forth the word, she brings scripture. She break it down so we can understand everything that she's teaching. This would be like her fourth time being on the show, and I think she's coming back. And we're going to have a very powerful word from the woman of God. And I'm going to do a little prayer, and we're going to go forth with the word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humble as I know how. Father God, I repent of anything I've done today that's not like you in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you touch everyone that's listening in, Father God. I pray that the word set us free, Father God. It touches us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, Father God. And I pray that you continue to have your way in our lives. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Woman of God is in your hand.
All right. Hello again, everyone. First, I want to say God is good all the time, and I hope everyone listening is doing well. And if you're not doing well, Proverbs 2nd chapter 10 through 11 verse says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. The words of the Lord are without blemish. They are perfect, and they are pleasing to your soul and body. So let's be blessed today and hear these encouraging words from God. What I will be discussing today is the possibility.
Amen.
I am going to start by reading some verse 78. Those verses will be Psalm 78, chapter 11 through 22nd verse. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, and the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the sea. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck the rock, and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel. For they did not believe in God, trusting his deliverance. God loves to be trusted. God loves to be believed. Many people question, including Christians, can God really? It's like we read the miracles out of the Bible, but for some reason in our own personal life, we seem to can't believe. We say things like, well, David, Abraham, Moses saw God do the impossible. But when it comes to our own lives, and in this day and time, some Christians just have issues believing.
Yeah.
I have even known people that have said they definitely believe in God, and they're Christian. Start talking to them about the spiritual realm, such as angels or demons being in existence. They kind of have the attitude that it just was not real to them or something. I'm thinking, how can you believe in God but struggle with evil spirits and angels when the Bible spoke about these beings existing?
Mm-hmm.
This just wasn't in Bible time. This is still going on today.
Yes.
I have said this before, and I will say it again. We should never, never put God in a box on how he accomplished things. I am going to discuss some key points things to avoid, things to take notice to about possibilities by believing for the impossible. Key points. Number one, your life will end up exactly how you believe and imagine. Your life, my life, will end up exactly how we believe it to be. Now, I am not talking about when we go through trials and have problems. I am not talking about if you are going through a problem right now, or that is exactly how your life is going to keep being. Temporary problems will happen in this life.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 4, verse says, so that we ourselves, both of you, among the churches of God, patience and faith, and all your persecutions and trials that you endure. So we will have trials in this life. What I am talking about is a dominant way of thinking, the way you truly see yourself now and in the future. How do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself as defeated, poor, sick? Do you imagine that your life will be a never-ending cycle of problems? Do you even find yourself speaking these things out of your mouth because it is what you truly believe? Your imagination is powerful. So I have a very vivid imagination about things. Yes, I still watch cartoons, and I play video games.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a big kid, and it doesn't matter to me whether someone thinks that's silly or not.
Amen.
It's never been too hard for me to imagine the impossible, to believe in the spirit realm, angels, demons, that type of stuff. My mind has always been very open to that. Even though a while back there were some things about it I didn't understand, but I was still open to it. I wasn't closed-minded. But if you spend day after day imagining and thinking up negative things, and you actually start to believe those things, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have thoughts that come in that goes against the Word of God. And 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, 4th to the 5th verse says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The verse didn't say that we don't have negative thoughts, but that every time we have negative thoughts, we are supposed to bring those thoughts captive to go in line with God. For example, if I have a negative thought that comes into my mind, hold me, I might start to think of scriptures that will go against those negative thoughts. I just start saying positive things about that situation. Another thing that works when negative thoughts start to come in that goes against God's promises is thanking and praising God for the answer. Yes, praising God has actually made me feel better.
Yeah.
Psalm 147 chapter, first verse says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Praising God for his goodness, his faithfulness to me, letting him know how much I appreciate him. Not only does it make me feel better, but it also builds up faith in me to keep believing for those promises he has given to me. It helps me to start imagining the positive outcome of a situation instead of imagining some negative outcome, which also keeps me from turning that negative imagination into actually believing negatively. Also, thanking God for his answer always helps too. I thank him for the answer before I see the solution manifest in my life. But I also thank God for the past things he has done for me and my family. And I also thank him for what he is already doing for me currently. God loves a thankful heart. And I also love thanking him because he is just so good to me. For me to not thank God will be rude behavior towards him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what kind of mood I'm in. He is worthy to hear my thanks towards him. So in other words, what I'm saying is, I need to get in the right mood to start thanking him. To sum this point up, for some reason, some people don't seem to get this.
Yeah.
But you can't go around believing negative and saying negative things and expect some great outcome in your life. Faith is important to God. So since it's important to him, it makes it important to me. So I owe it to him to trust him because he expects that out of me. I owe it to him, even when I don't have the exact plan on how to accomplish something. I can know what the outcome should be, but I might not always know what his plan is to accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
But he wants me to trust him in all circumstances. The second key point I'm about to go into is miracles and healing. But first, let me address something. There are some people that believe that every time someone dies, that it was God's will. That every time God says, I'm ready for that person to die, I'm just going to go ahead and take their life. It really didn't matter how that person lived their life. They're not responsible for their actions. Their actions didn't have anything to do with their death. Well, let me make something clear. I had a friend that was 35 years old, had been on drugs, and I'm not talking about prescription drugs, and alcohol for many years, and refused to stop doing those things, even after people kept telling him he was going to die. God was speaking through people, letting him know that the drugs and alcohol was going to kill him. He said he was going to do what he wanted to do, and that was final. At the age of 35, he died.
Mm.
His heart stopped. It was a heart attack due to being an alcoholic and the drug use. You think that was God's will?
Nope.
This person caused their death themselves.
Yes.
My friend had a destiny to accomplish, and God wanted to accomplish that in his life, that he was going to do things his way and resulted in his death. This is not what God wanted for him, to die like that. My friend kept that lifestyle, and it resulted in his death. And there are many other situations like this. It might not be alcohol or drugs. It might be something else. We have a free will in this life.
Yes, we do.
And your choices will produce life or death. You keep doing things a certain way, it will produce something. God gets blamed for things that is not even his fault. Miracles and healing are still happening today. Whether you believe in it or not, whether you believe it is for you or not, a miracle is a supernatural intervention from God concerning your problems in your life. There is no such thing as an incurable disease with God. Cancer, AIDS, diabetes, lupus, and any other terrible disease are all curable with God. Man maybe can't cure an illness, but God can. Isaiah 53, chapter 5, verse says, and by his stripes we are healed. It is a done deal, and you really have to truly believe it, not just hope you are healed. You must believe it with your heart and confess it with your mouth, like you would do with anything else in this life you will believe for. The church that I attend has seen many healings take place while in service, and I have personally known people that have received just by trusting in what God's word said and not the circumstances. One time I had a growth that had appeared on my body. It was a lump. When I saw that, I said, this is not from God. I will not accept this. I did not deny that there was a growth. I just said that I was not going to accept that to be the final answer. I stood on God's word for the most part every day and cursed that growth on my body and commanded that growth to be pulled up at the root and planted into the seed. That's Luke 17 chapter. I watched in a three-month period that growth, which was very noticeable on my body, go down until it was completely gone. I got the result I expected. I will not accept sickness in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I will stand on God's word for sickness to come out of my body. And even if I don't have immediate results, I will just keep believing until the results I want manifest.
That's right.
Whether it's today, next week, or however long it takes, I already knew it was not God's will for me to have that on my body. And I just stood and had faith in him. If someone else tries to come with an opinion contrary to what God says, then here's what Romans 3, chapter 4, verse says. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Stand on to believe you are fearful of dying or you have some incurable disease. It's Psalms 118:17, which says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Miracles are not just happening in health, but miracles are happening today in all other areas too, such as finances, relationships, people turning to God that you think would never do it. If you're in need of a miracle today, you need to be trusting in God that he would do it, not just be hoping for an answer. You need to be expecting an answer. I'm not just talking about a health miracle. I mean miracle in your finances, a situation to turn around your favor. Be expecting from God. Mark 9, chapter 23rd, verse, can believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus says, if you can believe. The key word is believe. We need to do what Jesus said to do. We have to trust God's word. We either believe God's word or we don't. We do not need to make God's word bend to our circumstances. But what we need to do is believe our circumstances will bend to God's word. Believe that your situation is going to bow down to what God said in his word. Key point number three, being around the wrong type of people can hinder your thinking patterns. Unbelief can be contagious. We should never let what someone has or has not experienced determine our idea of what we think God would do in our lives. Sometimes when other people's lives are wrecked or miserable, they would try to put that type of thinking off on you too as well. So your life can go down the toilet right along with theirs. Everybody does not want to see good happen to you.
Amen.
Some people want to see you fail because sometimes misery loves company. Some people have had some bad things happen in their life, and instead of going to God to let him mend their broken heart and to restore them to a better place than what they had before the problem happened, they become bitter and negative and want to take everyone down with them. You have other people who have grown up around negativity, and they have taken that on into adulthood, and that's how their thinking pattern has been their whole life. Person just tries to put that way of believing on everyone else because it's all they know, and that's how they have seen mom and dad act growing up or other family members. Well, both types of thinking are wrong. The last thing we need in our ears is someone telling us what can or can't happen in our lives when they are not God. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 33rd verse says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So it is not smart for us to think that we can just be around anyone and it will not somehow affect us. It will affect us one way or another. Some people can mean well with their actions and their suggestions, but we need godly wisdom for all of our situations, for all the things we are hoping for in our lives. If you want to believe for amazing things to happen in your life, I suggest being around people that believe the same way you do. They don't limit God. And they believe that God can do anything in their lives. And that way, you have a partner and some friends that will stand with you in faith to see the things that you are believing for in your life come to pass. Number four, stop living in the past. Who cares what you did or didn't do in the past? God loves you and is not interested in your past but the present. He is interested in now. What are you going to do now? You have so many people that still live in the past. They build themselves up about what they should or should not have done. God wants to do amazing things in people's lives.
Yeah.
Work through them to bless others. But how can he if all you think about is what went wrong in the past? Look, I don't care if you were stealing and robbing in the past and doing other things that was wrong. If you have turned your life over to God and you are not doing these things anymore, then he is not holding that against you. He wants to do something now with you. If you have people that are holding things over your head about what you did in the past, God isn't holding those things over your head. So that's all that matters. Psalm 86, chapter 15, verse says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth." Some people have a tendency to say, "Remember when you were like this?" or "Remember when you done this?" Or they will go behind your back and say to other people, "When you was like this," or "that you have changed and no longer do those things." You have people that don't want you to be forgiven because they feel that what you have done is so sinful or so wrong, when they have never been perfect themselves and have forgotten when God forgave them, even when they were not doing, when they were not doing some of the other bad things that other people were doing, they still have fallen short somewhere. Romans 3rd chapter 23rd verse says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Jesus also said that we should have a forgiving heart towards others. Colossians 3rd chapter 13 verse says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So Jesus has made it clear that forgiveness is not an option. So we have to learn to forgive ourselves too when we did something wrong. Sometimes our own self can be the hardest critic against ourselves. If it is something you didn't do that you should have done or something you should have done differently, don't worry about it. It does not matter to God. Have faith in him. Trust him. He will correct things that went wrong, even if it's something that we should have done differently. It's called a course correction. Nothing is too big for God to fix. God loves you so much and cares about the now to bring you to a future that's full of blessings, love, your destiny, and deeper relationship with him. Self that constantly try to remind you what you did, or Satan tries to remind you what you have done to stop you from going closer to God and to keep you from progressing further with him. And he might try to use other people, too, to make you feel guilty continuously. Hebrews 8, chapter 12, verse says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." If a person has a problem with someone being a minister or doing other great things in this world that was once a drug addict, alcoholic, thief, and any other things that's wrong, and they are not doing these things anymore and have totally changed their life around and living their life for God, then get over it. If God does not have a problem with it, the possibilities are so great with God in your life, but you can't live in the past and allow other people to hold things over your head. Yeah, if you have already changed your ways around and your life is devoted to God, he is saying to you, let's focus on your life now and your future. Point number 5, you need to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Each of us have a destiny, a different mission, and we need to be in this to win it. You accomplishing your destiny not only affects your life, but it affects other people's lives as well. Each of us is unique and have giftings and talents. God did not make anyone worthless. Galatians 1st chapter 15 to the 17th verse says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Do you think that Paul was the only one who had a destiny? God has set you apart for a specific purpose, no matter how big or small that purpose is. And what I mean by big is that everybody is not going to have a worldwide ministry or some worldwide business. Even if you were called to affect people on a smaller scale, that is just that is still just as important to God as someone having a worldwide operation. Some people say, well, I wasn't called to be a minister or a leader in business or governance. But you were called to do something, and you just don't know whose life you were meant to affect. There is someone who's going to need to hear your testimony. There is going to be someone that will need to hear the blessings God has given to you. There is going to be someone who will need to hear you minister to them about God's love and compassion. You might not be called to be a minister, but you were called to minister to the sick, the depressed, people who are hurting, people who need encouragement. These people can be Christian and non-Christian. Even if you are called to only be in the business world, you are meant to affect someone. Everybody's life on this earth is important to God. We're supposed to be making God rich. Rich with what? God wants to be rich with souls. Everyone in eternity with him. His heart desires that so much. Souls are precious to him. God wants you to finish your race for him. So many lives we are called to affect. Hebrews 3rd chapter 15 verse says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. God said today, if you hear his voice. He is not talking about yesterday, as yesterday is already gone. He wants us to hear him today. We should let God put his will, his desires into our hearts, and we should not harden our hearts, but be open and willing to accomplish our mission in this world. To conclude this, all things are possible with God as long as that promise is in God's word. We can believe it and expect to receive from God. God is an amazing God. And in 2 Chronicles 16 chapter 9 verse says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So God is looking, and there are just so many great possibilities trusting in him. That's it, Valencia.
Okay. I want to thank you, woman of God. That was a very powerful word. Can you get them your email address and let them know the things that you do, woman of God?
Well, besides doing this and being on the show, actually, I have a website up, and I do some things. And I write articles, and I'm working on a book of poetry. And my email address is vidella7@gmail.com. That's B as in boy, I, D as in dog, another D as in dog, ELLA7@gmail.com.
Okay. And that was a powerful word, because you made me think about when people say that when folks died, God took them and stuff like that. Well, first of all, God promised us 70 years. Anything besides that is his grace and mercy. And a lot of people dying because a lot of people being self-willed, and they take people's lives. And sometimes we bring it on ourselves by what we put in our bodies. Mm-hmm. It can be drugs, alcohol, it can be food, it can be, you have to know what you're dealing with when you say things like that. But that was a very powerful word. And I want to thank the woman of God for bringing forth the word again. We will be back on the line Saturday at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern, talking about drugs, alcohol, molestation, and things like that. If people have questions, my name is Valencia Scott. I'll be on there. Mary Mills will be on there as well. And their number is 1-302-202-1106. And the access code is 210-625. And I will be posting it on Facebook. And, again, my name is Valencia Scott. I'm from Turner League Ministries. And the name of my show is The Ties That Bind. And I want to thank Minister Stella Stiers. Is it Stiers?
Yes, Stiers.
Stiers, okay. She has a Facebook page. What's your Facebook page name? Because I think people might want to befriend you.
Bianca Stiers Deloach.
Okay. So if you want to befriend a woman of God, please send her a friend request, because she have a powerful word from the Lord, and she's doing some other things for the Lord. And I'm sure that I will have her again next week, and I thank God for her for this powerful word. And I'll be posting this word again on my Facebook page and in my groups. I want to thank everyone. Have a blessed day. Amen.
Amen. Goodbye.